if you show respect to persons and you've got the time and you say, what? You want me to go to Corpus to pray for somebody? That means I got to get up at 5 to catch an airplane, to go down there to be able to be there all day to spend time to get her healed, and then get back home at 10:30 that night from 5 till 10:30. That's my Saturday. Forget it. I ain't going to go. Now then, guess why I get to see God do miracles? I've given my life to the King. I don't care about my life. I only care about Him. I'm about the King's business. And I'm going to tell you, there's not a lot of people that'll do that for you. There's not a lot. Now then, if they say, you know, we're multimillionaires, and if you'll come down here and pray for us, we might give you $100,000. You say, I'll break my neck to get down there for $100,000. Well, see, you going to have any luck getting that person healed? You went down there for the money. Hey, I went down there not expecting nothing. Nothing. But that's what I do with everybody. I don't expect nothing, but I expect God to meet my needs. And He does. That's why when I do what I do, I never ask anybody for anything. Nothing. I'm going to tell you, you know, we have had some awful, wonderful, good offerings just sent from people that I never heard of before in my life. Somebody just walk in the door, never seen them before in their life, just reach in their pocket, hand you a check. That's God, you know. I mean, when I need something, you know, I mean, it's amazing. But anyway, let's go get on with this. If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. Now, what is the royal law of God's love? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the royal law of God. Now, what does that fall under? First, who are you to love the most? God. You're to love God and put nothing before Him. That's the first thing. And then you got to love your neighbor as yourself. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. Now, a lot of people don't understand. When I say you're sick because of sin, oh, there's some people will get down and get knocked down fighting mad if I tell you you're sick because you've sinned. Just like one night, Cheryl and I was down in Georgia, had a young man in a wheelchair sitting right there. Had his leg all out there, all swelled up, looked like about 18. I'm teaching on these things. And I said, son, you're there because you sinned. I said, do you have any idea what you've done? He said, no. As far as I know, I didn't sin. I said, well, you didn't sin because you don't know the word. I said, who's this woman sitting beside you? My aunt. I said, ma'am, would you turn to one scripture in your Bible, Philippians. Now, we're going to come back here, Dave. But Philippians 2:14. I want you to see what Philippians 2:14 says. Now, this royal law. What is the royal law? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Is the law of God the whole Bible?
Yes.
Yes, it is. It sure is. It's God's law. Now, Philippians 2:14, I ask his aunt, I said, would you read that to your... Do a few things. What did he say?
Do all things.
Oh.
All things.
You think we, you, brother, you think me and you might have fell short a few times on that? Every day. Whoa. Isn't that awful? Do all, the King says under this law of God, do all things without murmuring or disputing. I said, son, that says do everything without grumbling and complaining. He said, you know, that could be why I'm here. I said, we just read one verse and you're already convicted. That could be why you're sitting in that wheelchair. He said, I sure do lots of grumbling and complaining. Now, what God say do? Do how many things? The church, obviously, we don't do a very good job. Now, I'm going to tell y'all that God, I'm telling you stories on myself, you know, because I've not walked here either. I'm trying, but I'm going to tell you that whenever we built this little lean-to, I call it, back here, our little apartment, I built Cheryl a little apartment back there. You know, it's nice. You know, we call it our tin shed, you know, but it's a nice little apartment. It's nice and comfortable, isn't it, Terry? It's not bad at all. But whenever we built it, of course, it's all steel, so I welded up all the outside and everything. Not two before, so it's easy to take them out. And then we go down to buy all the accessories, and when we go down, I said, okay, we'll take this bathtub. And Cheryl said, no, I don't want that one. I want this one. I said, but that's not a standard size. But this is the one I want, 4 inches wider than a standard one. I said, but it won't go in the house. I can't get it in the door. I said, a standard bathtub will go through a 3-foot door. But I said, that one won't. But that's the one I want. What do? You buy the one she wants. So you come home, and I'm sitting there thinking, how, without having to cut these purlins out and re-weld them, how am I going to get this thing in the house? I thought, okay, I guess I can come around here where I put them big double bay windows in the front. I take the windows out, and we can get that tub shower assembly through that. Okay, so I take those windows all out. We take the tub in. We get it in the house. Now we get it on in and everything, and we're back out there, and Dave and I, and I'm putting windows back in, putting screws back in, doing everything, get to the last screw. Now, what did he say? Do all things without what? I picked up the drill and start to screw that last one in. I said, if my wife could have only have been satisfied with a standard size tub, I wouldn't have to be putting this back in. And I, does that border on grumbling?
Ouch. Yes. Last screw is ouch.
Oh. And so I started the drill and started in. And when I did, the screw bent over and the drill came off. And I'm pushing. My head goes forward, hits on the aluminum frame, busts my head open right, and blood starts running down my eye. I look up, and Dave looks down at me, and he said, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. He said, Pastor, you know what you've done, don't you? I said, yes, Dave, I know what I did. I look up, I said, Lord, please forgive me.
Amen.
Now then, I mean, and you want to know why these kind of things happen to us? But now let me ask you the question. Now, do you guys be honest? How many of you have grumbled and complained in your life? If you don't hold up your hand, you're lying. Because I know we've all done it. But see, what we're here, we're all in the same boat here. We're all trying to learn the royal law of God, right? We're trying to walk in this so we can walk in divine health. We do not want to be sick. Do all things without murmuring and complaint. Okay, let's go back to James 2. But if you have respect to persons, you have commit sin, and you are convinced of the law as transgressors. You show respect to persons, you're a transgressor of the law. You know what that means? You're a lawbreaker. Now then, let's go to the next verse. And you are convinced of the law as a transgressor, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he's guilty of oh, my lands. So when I showed respect to persons, I'm guilty of breaking the whole law. And what's the next verse says? For he that saith, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if they commit no adultery, yet if they kill, you are become a transgressor of the law. So if I showed respect to persons between this man here on the front row and this man over here on the front row, am I a sinner?
Yeah.
Am I really a sinner?
Yeah.
That's what the Word says, isn't it? And if I'm a sinner, then I'm guilty of being a transgressor of the law, and I'm guilty of breaking all. So he's saying right there, I'm guilty of murder and adultery. And how many murders and adulteries have eternal life?
None.
That's scary, isn't it? And you want to know why we're sick? See, we don't know what sin is. That's why whenever Dave came to me and he needed to be healed, and the first thing I told him with this incurable disease, first thing you got to do is stop sinning. Well, he knew a few of the things he's doing with sin, so okay, I'll stop those. But one of the major things that is, and he's still working on it just like I am, is that Philippians 2:14, do all things without grumbling and complaining. You know how easy it is to grumble and complain? Ooh, so, yeah, it is. I mean, it's so easy, and so when we grumble and complain, you know, we open the door to the enemy, and he comes in to steal, kill, and to destroy. And he makes us sick and afflicts us. And you know, how many times have you heard people say, let me tell you, when they find out, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a pastor. Oh, good. Let me tell you a good preacher joke. Hey, I don't want to hear your preacher joke. I mean, if I start telling jokes about preachers, I'm a respecter of persons. I'm guilty of sin. Oh, we just had a Korean guy. We just had an Aggie move into our town. Oh, let me tell you a good Aggie joke.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, when you start telling Aggie jokes, you got to be careful. You're committing sin. You have to be so careful. Somebody said, well, surely God wouldn't expect me not to tell any jokes. He does. He does. It's in His Word. But He says here, for he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now, if you commit no adultery, yet if you kill, you are become a transgressor of the law. Now then, this is the part we've missed as Christians. We think because we're living under the age of grace, we can do anything we want to. But that's not so. Not so at all. Now, here's what grace is. Let me explain this to you, why God is so gracious and merciful. Let's say you go along for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and you were that wicked sinner. I mean, you were a drunk. I mean, you were a homosexual. You were a pervert. You were a fornicator, adulterer. You ran around on your wife or your husband. You had 4 or 5 abortions. I mean, you were really a meanie. And then one day, you come to God, and you want to get saved. Now, anybody that would save a wicked person like that's got to have grace. You know it? You know, all you've done for 50 years is sin against me, he says. And I'm going to give you grace to clean you up and make you whole. That's grace, isn't it? But he'll take anybody. Anybody that comes to it, that's the grace of God. Now, whenever you come into his kingdom and he saves you, he expects you to change. And that's where we've missed it. We thought grace just keeps right on going. So now then I can go out tomorrow and do what I want to do. No, 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 no. When Terry and Frank up here got married, Frank and Terry expected to move into the same house and live together. He didn't expect her to go out and run around with some of her old boyfriends or vice versa. You know, she doesn't say, oh, okay, Frank, you're my husband, but that's okay if you want to go out next week with one of your old girlfriends. I understand. You'll take her to dinner. That'll be fine. No, she didn't say that, did she? No, not hardly. In other words, I mean, if we can see that simple scenario between a man and a woman getting married, why can't we see this when we get married to Jesus?
Amen.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.